I'm Barbara Jean Girdley, Jean Stark Girdley, born the second daughter to Jeanette Humphrey and Wesley Kenneth Stark in Scranton, Pennsylvania. My family moved to Orlando, Florida when I was 5. We were an average family. We always had a nice home, plenty of food, clothing, a few extras as well. My parents claimed to be Methodists, but they never went to church with my sister and I. They just took us. My first job was with Southern Bell Telephone Company right out of high school. And during break one day, I mentioned being a Christian. And one of the girls said, "I don't think you're a Christian." And I thought, I thought I was because I was an American and I wasn't Jewish. Only to find out, I really didn't know what I was. So that began my search for truth and for finding out what did I really believe, you know. So one day I walked to the nearest church to our house and began searching. And it wasn't right away, but one Sunday when I was standing there, we were just singing or whatever, and I just knew my sins were washed away. I could just feel myself being so much lighter, and I knew that I was born again. And so Jesus found me there and changed my life. And the very next week I was baptized, completely immersed in water, as we believe, just like Jesus. And so then a couple of the girls and I decided that we would go to Casadega, which is a city north of Orlando, and it's full of mediums. And the curiosity was to have our fortunes read. Because even though I was in a church that supposedly believed the Bible, they only believed part of it, and they never warned me against the consequences of the occult. So we went to this house, went up to this house, and asked if this guy would read our fortunes. And his wife answered the door, and she said, "Sure, come on in." And so we went in, and he came down from upstairs with his Bible, and he put the Bible on top of a heater that was there in the room and never touched it again. But he began to tell us about our futures. And he said that I would marry a man named Danny and that we would divorce. And that really upset me because I didn't believe in divorce. I didn't want to be divorced. But time passed and I sort of forgot all about it. And then this friend of mine that went to our same church decided we would go to the art festival in Winter Park. And looking around the art festival, Danny came up and found her. He was a friend of hers. And he ended up following me home. We ended up starting, you know, he asked me out and we started dating. Prior to that, I had not known anybody named Danny, and I had forgotten completely about what that fortune teller had said. But 2 weeks before we're supposed to get married, I remembered. And I would awake in the middle of the night and I would tell my mother, "I can't marry him," because I didn't want to be divorced. So that the words that that man had spoken over me had sown really bad seed in me, and I somewhat believed it, I guess, at that point. But anyhow, my mother said, "Okay, we'll send all the gifts back. You don't have to marry him." But in the morning, I would say, no, I love him. I want to marry him. And so my poor mother was probably on tranquilizers. I don't know. And but we went ahead and got married and moved into our first home that we bought. And had our first child, and it was a daughter. I thought, how cool that God would change that and give us a daughter first. And then 2.5 years later, we had our son. To back up just a little bit, when we were first married, before we had any children, I would be sometimes not come home because this fear that had come into me because of that fooling around with the occult caused me to run. And so Danny never knew whether I was going to be home when he came home or not. So one night I'm standing in the kitchen of this house that we rented, and I felt that presence, that spirit of fear coming at me. And I cried out to God. I said, "God, please help me. I didn't want to run anymore. I didn't want to deal with it anymore." And he did. And it was almost like he audibly spoke to me, "Fear not, trust me, and take one day at a time." And that's such good advice even now when I come up against things. I still remember that. He said, "Fear not, trust me, and take one day at a time," because we know it's sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So one day is about all we can handle, especially without him. So I fall back on that a lot. So having had the first and the second child, my husband sold the TV business that we had for 13 years in Orlando. We moved to Atlanta, well, Marietta, Georgia, and we lived there for 23 years. So our children were pretty much raised in Georgia. And after our son, we had a daughter named Ruth. And Ruth was amazing from the time she was born, full of energy and life, and just real special. But she got involved with the wrong crowd in high school and got involved in drugs. And so Danny and I, for years, would say, you know, they'd say, you want prayer for me? Oh, yeah, I pray for our daughter. And it sort of consumed us and enhanced our prayer life tremendously because we were always praying for our family and for particularly that daughter. Well, she made the mistake of selling drugs to a policeman and ended up in jail. And when she did that, we decided that we weren't going to bail her out until she made up her mind she wanted help. We were not going to allow her to go back into the same lifestyle. But at that point, we realized there was not a whole lot of help for women. There was a whole lot for men, but we had a hard time finding anybody that would take our daughter and help her get set free. She was not a teenager. At this point, she was probably 19, I think. She had to make up her mind that she would do this. So after she sat there for a while, she decided that she would take the help that was offered her. And God had so orchestrated all of this that I had met a lady through my job in the hospital that knew a girl that had graduated from Teen Challenge. And that gal got us the interview call that we needed and the opportunity for Ruth to go to a Teen Challenge home they had for ladies. It was not for teens. It was for ladies of all kinds of addictions, not just drugs, but just really a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for Ruth to get set free. And she did agree to go, and she was there for over a year, and it made a big difference. And then she went into another program in Atlanta. And it was like, at this point, she began to get training for the call that was on her life and for the ministry that God has used her in, because she is set free and on fire for God now and remarried and has three children. So we now have been married 54 years. And we have seven grandchildren and just in a new place in our lives. We have been told that we're to mentor other young people, so we would like to do that. We have offered ourselves available to whomever God sends us to help them with whatever we can through the experiences that God has brought us through. This is like just an overview of our lives, because I have hundreds of opportunities that God has saved us and delivered us, and we want people to know that that's available for them, that he is able to deliver to the uttermost. He's able to set you free from anything, and he doesn't want any of us to be tormented by this spirit of fear or any other spirit that would try to rob us of our joy. And so I don't have much else to say except
that. Yes, you do. tell me about your music ministry.
Oh, okay. Well, when we were first married, I had always wanted to be in a musical family, but when I married Danny, he couldn't hold a tune in a basket, so I thought, okay, that's out. Well, this man asked him to lead the singing for this prayer group, and every week this little man would ask him, are you playing the guitar yet? Are you playing the guitar yet? And he would say, I'm either going to have to learn how to play this guitar or do something with this man. So he borrowed a guitar from a fellow that worked with us, and it was the, what they call the catgut strings or the...
Yeah.
And he kept it for so long, and he began to teach himself. I finally said, you know, we need to give this man's guitar back to him, so let's buy you one if you're going to keep this up. So we had this friend named Lloyd who had a wonderful guitar. It sounded so good. So we said, well, we don't know anything, God, but we think we want a guitar like Lloyd's. And so interestingly enough, Lloyd called and he said, I'm going to buy a 12 string. Do you want to buy my guitar? And we said, yeah, you know. So we had just the right amount of money that he wanted for his guitar, and that was Danny's first guitar. And he jokingly says he knows why it sounded so good. It was because Lloyd was playing it. But God has helped us with that, and we would lead praise and worship in small groups and for the Women's Glow for years. This is back when we had scripture songs, which have been wonderful for me to remember the word, to learn the word, because there's such power in the word to change your life. And one thing I left out of my testimony is when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that was the real change in my life, was when I asked God to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And I was kind of fearful in that it might be of the devil, because the denomination I was with didn't believe in it. Only to find out that it was in the Bible, and that God does offer it to us. And I don't think it's optional. I think it's necessary. And it made such a difference in my life, as far as even being able to read the word and understand it, because I wasn't much of a reader before I got that. But after I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I couldn't get enough of the Bible and of the word of God. And so those were the songs we sang. We sang right out of the word with scripture, and therefore I could remember it. And I still, to this day, even one of my children said, I still remember the song you sang for us, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So it even went into our children as we taught them the word that way. So that was a wonderful part of our life, and we enjoyed that tremendously. Mm-hmm. Still like to do it.
Well, you didn't get divorced.
No! That wasn't God's plan for us at all.
Nope. Word from that guy that you went to see him was that you would have a male child.
First.
I asked him if we'd have any children. When he said we'd be divorced, I said, will we have any children? Because I thought that would be awful. And he said, oh yeah, you'll have one little boy after 3 years, and then after 5 years you'll get divorced. I thought, oh, that's terrible. So God, you know, is so loving and kind. He gave us a girl first, but then he went ahead and gave us our boy too. So we had, you would think, the perfect family, but like 8 years later, I decided I wanted a little girl. So I asked God for a little girl, and I got a little girl. And she was such a handful, I said, God, this is wonderful, but don't give me any more. I am so satisfied. Only to find out that Ruth's name means satisfied. I thought, God, you're so good to take care of all of that, you know. So he turned it all around. That which the enemy meant for our demise, he turned it around and made it for our good, which he does.
So what's your favorite scripture or scriptures?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. The one that kept coming up in our lives so much as we walked with the Lord was, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. That was the one that kept coming up, because we always felt like we were waiting. For something, you're always looking forward to the next thing that is going to happen in your life.
Mm-hmm. So, what's one of the things that the stories you could share that God, a time when you really, I mean, you shared one of them when God showed up. Share some other when God showed up times.
Well, all of our first years of marriage, we owned a TV business. And it was constantly having to believe God for everything. We started out just having to rely on God, leaning not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledging Him, that He would direct our paths and that He would be our Jehovah Jireh, our provider, because we didn't have any other way. And I was working at Southern Bell, and he was working at AT&T for a while, and then he wanted to own his own business. And this business came for sale that he'd heard about, and it was electronics, and it was the TV business. But we didn't have the money to buy it. So one night we're praying, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and my father says, you know that business you want to buy? He says, I want to give you the money for it. I said, oh, praise the Lord. He said, oh, Lord, Schmerz. He said, I'm giving it. But it was God working through him. And so we had the money to buy the business, and we were able to pay it back. And we lived off that business for 13 years. But it was always dependent upon the Lord for provision. As you know, small businesses, you don't get rich necessarily. Some people do, I guess, eventually, but we did not. Not in electronics. In fact, as you know, the TV is throw out stuff now. So eventually we sold it, and the man went into another facet of electronics, but he bought the business from us, and that was when we moved to Atlanta. But it was our life having to depend on God. It was like preparation for life ahead. I mean, it's really a good thing when you have to depend upon God, instead of if you just have an overabundance all the time, you always have everything before you get to that need, then you don't learn to rely on God and to look to Him first. You know, we didn't have the money to go to the doctor. We didn't have insurance because it was cost prohibitive with a small business. And so we went to God first, always. And it wasn't like, I'm not bragging, we just had no choice. It was like, you don't have it, you go to God, or you do without, you know. So we learned at a very early age in our walk to trust God for each thing we needed.
You have a lot of wise things to say. So do not fear, trust. Take one day at a time. That is really, but to go to Him first, and that He's your provider. If you can learn those things, you're ahead of everyone else. Is there anything else you would say to a new Christian woman? Doesn't matter what age they are. Is there just starting a relationship with God? What would you say to them?
Well, I think the one disappointment in my walk was that my church that I thought was so right and so good never taught me to go to God. Now, I don't care what you want out of life. I don't care if you want to be if you want to do something phenomenal for God, or if you just want to be successful in a career, you need to seek God. You need to know God's will. You need to find Him first, because everything else in life is elusive, not dependable, here today, gone tomorrow. Look at our economy. You know, it's up and down. You know, I don't care how much money you have. Today you can have a lot. Tomorrow you can have none. So, but with God, He is faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's somebody you can trust when you can't find, if you can't put your trust in a man, any man or any woman friend, you can put your trust in Him, because He is faithful. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother, and He's highly recommended.
Scriptural too, seek Him first in His righteousness.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good.
Yes, my husband has a book out on the kingdom of God. In fact, it's called Going Up, that he wrote, and that was his start, was that the kingdom of God, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that was one of the scriptures that he taught me, and it's so good. Another song, another one we put to song.
That's awesome. That's wonderful. And so you guys are leading worship over at Carl's home group, right?
We have twice.
Oh, twice?
Well, then we, you know, stayed home.
Oh, yeah. But we're going to go back. I mean, it's going to be different, but we're going to go back. We're going to have a new, God is doing a spiritual reset. You know, he needed to get people's attention, you know, so in a completely different way. So
I heard a word from a lady who knows if she's related to me or not. Her name is Emma Stark, and my maiden name was Stark, and my father was somewhat Scottish. And so she is also, and she has a prophetic ministry in Great Britain. And she said, what you do first is kind of what I just said. When things like this happen, you go to God and you say, God, where are you in all this? What's happening, you know? And so she gave Haggai 2:6-8. 6-9. And it talks about God shaking the nations and how much he loves people, loves the nations, and he's drawing them to him because he knows this is the best for us. You know, he's trying to save us even from ourselves.
Yeah.
And so Haggai goes on to say that with the shaking will come his glory.
Yes.
And we'll see that harvest that we're all believing for and expecting.
Yeah, I've been in the first chapter of that because that's
what
it talks about too.
All right.
You know, so, and that there are scriptures, 1 Corinthians 1:8 says that he will sustain us and he will satisfy us. And you can't ask for anything more than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's all threaded through his word, you know, his truth. If we decide that we're going to follow him, you know. So, well, what would you tell somebody that had been walking with God for a long time but was disappointed and they didn't think that God was answering their prayers?
Hold on. timing is everything. And sometimes we don't see the full picture. And yes, I have been disappointed. One time, my first daughter was in high school, and she failed a class that was necessary for her to graduate with her class. And we got no notification of this until after she had already had her cap and gown, was all ready to walk the aisle there to get her diploma, and suddenly we got this registered letter in the mail. So I was pretty upset. And interestingly enough, her teacher for that class was a senior advisor. And he had never called us, we never had any clue that she wasn't passing, none. So I was upset and I went to that school and I talked to the principal and I said, can you not allow her to walk and get her, you know, a roll of pee paper or something so that she can graduate with her class? She will take the class over the summer and I'm sure she'll pass it. You know, it's just a matter of her doing it over again. Oh no, we don't do that. But I had heard of this at other times, other instances. So I tried to talk to him, and the whole time I'm talking to him, he is looking in the mirror behind him doing this, and I'm like, hello, I'm talking to you. This is about my daughter. The mother bear in me was upset. Mm-hmm. So I was like, God, where were you? You know, I prayed, I believed you to be with me, and that man just was not moving. He was not interested in what I had to say at all. And so I went home, and I was still praying and still upset, and I was really upset with God because I thought he'd let me down. You know, you believe he's there with you, but when you don't see him coming through for you like you think he should, it's upsetting. So as time went on, and I would never have prayed for that man or that situation or that school like I did until I went through that, when I had to forgive him and I had to pray for him. And all of a sudden, it's in the paper, that man was absconding with funds and he was dismissed. He'd probably never get a job as a principal ever again. And so that instance that I had, that upset that I had, caused me to pray for that man and to care enough to really douse that area in prayer, to the point where his little game he had going of absconding with funds and stealing from the county was brought to light. And so sometimes God has a bigger picture. My daughter did graduate, so he took care of that, but she didn't get to walk the aisle, but she got her diploma. And everything was as God would have it. So that's another time. There was a time when we had a house for sale. And it was an instance where the homosexuals were trying to move into the city of Orlando. And we did not know that. We owned a very big house in downtown Orlando, and when we moved to Georgia, the house didn't sell right away. And so a real estate agent that we thought was a Christian and trustworthy was supposedly renting it out for us to someone, or leasing it to someone that loved antiques, because it was an older home, and wanted to have the house. And so we allowed them to move in with a small down payment. And then things weren't going well. And the real estate agent did some things that were of much concern. So we decided we'd come down from Atlanta and check and see what was going on. And the minute I walked in the house, well, he didn't even want to let me in the house. I said, I still own the house. I want to check and see if it's all right. So we walked in the house, and we could tell right away something was not right. And we walked, these people that supposedly loved antiques had changed a lot of the stuff, and it wasn't in that realm. It wasn't according to the era of that house. And so these men had started like a publication upstairs. There was like papers everywhere about the LGBT agenda and a lot of other things that were going on with that. And so if I hadn't come down, if I hadn't seen that and dismissed the real estate agent and had to take care of that, I would not have known to pray for that. And because we prayed for that, they didn't set up there. And the real estate agent's place was actually taken away. And so a lot of things happen when we pray. And sometimes it takes going through things that get our attention, as you say, that we really, step up the prayer game and step up that, probably shouldn't call it a game, but that avenue of our lives so that God can work through us as we co-labor together with God and we pray, then we can see the hand of God taking care of things in our, not only in our lives, but in the city of Orlando or in the place where we live.
Well, that's really good. So what are you guys praying for now that you've been praying for a long time?
Our prayer always is to minister, to do whatever God would do through us. We make ourselves available, and we live in a small community now of 55 plus. And so there's not probably a lot of years between our lives and when we go into eternity. So we pray and ask God to use us in our community. Mm-hmm. And in Acts, it talks about you being witnesses first in Judea and then to the other most parts of the world. So we start there. We start where God placed us, which He moved us to Melbourne in 2018. Mm-hmm. And so now we are praying for the coast and for Melbourne and for our community. And, we shine His light wherever we are.
And you guys have a Bible study in your house?
Yes, Wednesdays. So that's been very interesting.
Wednesday mornings?
Uh-huh. Well,
awesome.
10 o'clock.
That's awesome. That's really, and so you just invite people to come.
We put up a notice at first, but with this quarantine thing, people have been in there, have been listening to the news, and have a lot of fear, and so they, they're very careful about who they spend time with and where they go. Mm-hmm. But the hunger is not, I don't see the hunger in America particularly, but none different in where we live. Mm-hmm. Even though we're older, and a lot of our people our age have gone to church their entire life, and they're under the misunderstanding that they're okay. It's like somebody accused us of having a Western gospel, so maybe that's what I'm thinking. But basically, we have been taught that if you one time said, God, you're Lord of my life, that's it. Then, you just go about your business and do the best you can, and you can get off into works instead of grace that way, like in Galatians where it talks, who has bewitched you, Galatians, that you would go back into works when Jesus Christ is grace and truth, grace and truth. So there's a work to be done in America. America just needs to realize it, that they need, that.
The word says to take up your cross every day.
Yes.
To deny yourself and take up your cross. Yes, and we have definitely been fed some things that are feel good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But obedience is not easy. Obedience is a very challenging thing when you live in a very rebellious, self-centered, independent culture. They want to make God look like how they want. And, that's what we say. So how do you guys pray together? What's your plan during the day? Do you pray in the morning? Do you have some devotion time? What do you guys do?
Well, we each have our own personal time, and morning works best for us. But then occasionally we'll get the guitar out, and we do a time where we sing and praise and then pray. So. And then spontaneous. Mm-hmm. You know, as things come up, we get messages from maybe a loved one that's passed away, or they've gotten a bad report from a doctor or something, and then we just pray then. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not a ritual. And we have been known to take communion. I'm big on that. Take communion together at breakfast time or whenever, because I think that's important.
Why do you think communion is so important?
Well, we need to be reminded of what Jesus did for us, you know, and how powerful the blood of Jesus is. That we can claim that His blood, what His blood does when it goes into us, and to take of His body was broken for us, and it's His body's strong, it's healed. When I take of His body, I take health into my body. And it's like a transference of what I know about Him coming to me. One of the biggest revelations I got, and I could just go down my walk with God as revelations, you know, like you get born again, and one thing that you find out is about submission to your husband. And the first thing I said to God was, that's great. He gets to submit to you and you're perfect, but I have to submit to Him and He's not. He's just a mere man. That doesn't seem fair, God. And He said, but as you submit to Him, you submit unto Me. So that was one of my first lessons. And then I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then you find out about deliverance. This is the way my life went anyhow. And so, and then you grow in all this. It's not like you first come in and you know everything. I wish it was that easy. You just open it up and stick it in and you're wow. Wow, Christian, you know, superwoman, you know. But you grow in grace and knowledge of Him. And so that with the communion, it's like again applying the things that I know, because a revelation that came to me was that the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross was a finished work. There is nothing more He's going to do for you in that. He hasn't already done it on the cross. So a lot of people spend a lot of time in prayer begging for stuff that He's already done instead of appropriating it and believing what He's already done and allowing that to manifest in your life, because He's already done it. You know, we don't have to beg Him. He loves us. He did it all. He wants us to have it all. But we have to come to Him and get our minds renewed so that we really believe what He did.
Yeah, that's tremendous wisdom. It is right there. And revelation is that thing that changes what we think right then and there.
Yes.
But we lived in an unredeemed body, so we're constantly trying to get our, you know, our flesh to cooperate.
Well, to me, the best way to do that is change your mind. Change your mind and tell your flesh.
Because, you have to do that, you know, right?
Take authority over your flesh, because your flesh lies to you. You know, today we're going to have this, especially at my age, today we're going to have this ache and pain. It's like, no, I don't have time for that today. I'm not going to have that ache and pain. And at my age, too, moving, you know, we tend to, seniors tend to get inactive, and that's a killer. We really have to stay active. So walking, getting in water exercise, you know, movement is crucial.
Yes.
The body was so designed by God to heal itself, to be active, to work. Work is good. Mm-hmm. Americans will find out work is good. They're probably glad to get back to work. Mm-hmm. And it's healthy. It's really healthy. And mm-hmm. I would say to those who are in their 50s or whatever, don't be too quick to retire. Go ahead and work. Enjoy your life and keep active, you know, and follow through with what God's given you to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have such an exciting testimony. You really do. You really do. So,
thank you.
We have more to squeeze out of you. go ahead and how would you pray for people? You're going to impart.
Okay.
You're going to pray for healing, deliverance, whatever you feel like the Holy Spirit wants you to pray for as they're listening to you share. You know, you, whoever you feel like God wants you to touch through your prayer.
Okay. And Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus, and I thank You for this opportunity to be a blessing, to share the things that you've done in my life, to share the difference that you have made in my life. May the words that I have spoken and shared touch hearts of those, whatever they need, Lord. Whatever it is that they need, I know you are the fulfillment of that. You are the answer to any questions they have. You are the one who helps in time of need. And I thank you, God, for using all of this to your glory, for setting the captives free, for causing them to know that you are the deliverer, that you are the healer, that the very word of salvation, sozo, means all those things, not just escaping hell or being born again, that one little experience, but it is a lifestyle. It is a forever relationship with you, God, as you work with us each and every day of our lives, perfecting that which concerns us, leading and guiding and directing us. We can believe you to touch our lives and to give us the strength we need to be our Savior and Lord, as you want so much for that communion with us, for that relationship with us, God. We hunger and thirst for you and for your relationship every day. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, into our lives to show us and direct us and teach us. Thank you, God, that you have allowed us to be here at such a time as this to show forth your glory, to be your lights and your salt. Cause us to be effective with that, Lord. Cause us to do a good job for you, that others might know you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.